During Pride celebrations in 2022, Acast handed over the mic to our LGBTQIA plus creators and created our very first audio Pride Parade.
Welcome to the next stop in the Acast Pride Parade. We are reality gays here in Los Angeles, and this is our Pride episode.
Follow the parade on Acast social media channels and find the bonus episodes in the podcaster's feed.
And how exciting, an audio Pride Parade. I mean, I never thought that kind of thing could happen before, but it has. We're here, we're queer.
Well, one of us is, yeah.
And we're in a parade and we don't even need to walk. How fabulous.
Hello and welcome to the Monday edition of World Soccer Talk podcast. Usually it's Kyle Fansler doing the interviews. This week I've actually got an interview, and it's an interview with Ray Warren, who is the president of Telemundo Deportes, the exclusive Spanish language broadcaster for this year's World Cup, as well as the 2026 World Cup, and of course, previously for the 2018 World Cup. Well, this is going to be a big one for Telemundo. And so I had a chance to sit down and talk to Ray Warren about several topics. Some of the questions that came up were, what's the differences between Telemundo's coverage this time compared to last time? How the time difference for games, whether that helps or hurts the coverage, as well as how will Telemundo address the topic of human rights in regards to Qatar. So a lot to get to, plus much, much more. So here's the interview with Ray Warren, president of Telemundo Deportes. So Ray, the first question I have for you is, what will be different about Telemundo's coverage of this upcoming World Cup compared to 2018?
Yeah, there's a lot, as you might imagine, just in the sense of the differences between the cities, well, the countries, right? Qatar versus Russia, 10 cities, 2 million square miles, people sleeping on airplanes, getting up and either playing a game or calling a match. So we think that, you know, we'll have, well, we don't think, we know, we're going to have announcers in every stadium for every game. We're working on some surprises as it relates to that. The locale is so, you know, open to really having some fun stuff because you're just not worried about. And I have to give, you know, credit. Mm-hmm. We got everybody where we had to in 2018, but we know it's going to be a lot. We expect it to be much simpler this time around. We're going to increase the numbers of our experts in terms of our players, and we're going to have referees, more women, more guests, more celebrities. The other thing that's really different, and I think this is the one that it is going to just be explosive for Telemundo Enterprises, not just Telemundo Sports, and I think NBC Universal will be really delighted with what they're going to see. In 2018, we were kind of sprinting to the World Cup. You know, I got here in September of 16. We had a Confed's Cup 6 months later. I was evaluating staff, tutor helping me expand my Spanish, which I brought some with me to the company, but got needed more, wanted more. And then we're in Russia calling the Confed's Cup. And then a year later, you know, we've got a World Cup, whereas now I've been here for almost 6 years, fully. And, you know, we have a process at the company that we're calling World Cup Wide. What does that mean? World Cup Wide means that we've broken every part of the company down and given every part of the company specific input and expected outputs for marketing, PR and communications, ad sales, production, that all the shows at Telemundo will be involved. Community outreach inside the country. Literally everybody who, you know, runs a business at Telemundo, we have many meetings, mm-hmm. but it's a 180 degree difference when you can make it more of a marathon than a sprint, as you could imagine.
Yeah, the last World Cup, I remember too, there was just some crazy logistics to link everyone from city to city, especially Andres and Manuel Sol and many others. And that's just the kind of behind the mic, I'm sure, in terms of just the operations behind the scenes. But for this World Cup coming up in November and December, will this actually, in terms of cost, be less because there's less kind of, less spend? I mean, not the cutting back on spend, but is it going to be cheaper to actually kind of broadcast this one than 4 years ago?
You know, well, obviously some of that stuff is, you know, inside the lines, but ultimately I will tell you that we're just reinvesting that amount of money because, you know, the time zone difference is an hour more than what we had in Moscow. So we're pretty confident about the numbers. We love the draw. As I listened to your podcast yesterday, because I just flew in from Doha Monday night at 7 o'clock. We love the draw.
Sure.
We love the timing and the games. So, you know, we're going to have more positions in Doha. We really did reinvest the same amount of money, or darn close to it, to be honest with you. It was a bigger fight in 2018 for me. I was wrestling the CFO to the ground at times to do what I thought was the way to do a World Cup, and I was brand new. You know, it's just not that way. We've proven ourselves with one of the great World Cup experiences ever in 2018. You know, ratings were, you know, we're 18% of the population, we're 41% of the viewers. We brought 50% of all the people who came to Telemundo any night had not been to Telemundo in 30 days or more. 81% of all the viewers were bilingual. So while it could have been 50-50, because they could have watched Fox, I don't know if you and I have ever talked about the 200 percenters. 200 percenters are Hispanics in the country who are really 100% American and 100% native to their family's origin, so much because we're like a generation behind of having come to the country. And so when the World Cup comes, I'll give you an example of the Super Bowl, which we put on Telemundo this year and shattered all the records anyone had ever seen for an audience watching the Super Bowl in Spanish language. We beat the highest number, which had been Fox Deportes. And that's because we put it on the Telemundo broadcast network. And I had reporters saying, you know, what you're allowing me to do is to watch this game with my family. I used to watch the Super Bowl with my friends because they didn't speak English. And now I'm going to mom and dad's house and we're going to watch the Super Bowl together. So you can't, you know, we're not going to do any less games on Telemundo, 56 on Telemundo, 8 on Universal because they're simultaneous matches. Everything will be live streamed, more accessible, people much more comfortable 4 years later with live streaming. Everybody's got their password saved somewhere and they know what they're doing. I can't wait, honestly. Or as I used to say, I can't sleep fast enough.
So the kickoff times, I mean, there's the 5, 8, 11, and then 2 p.m. Eastern time. And the way that FIFA's looked at the schedule and kind of rearranged it, it's definitely favorable for having a lot of the Mexico games and U.S. games and some of the other big games, I mean, Brazil, etc., in those 2 p.m. windows, 2 to 4 p.m. windows, which is really favorable for a lot of us, the viewers too. Yeah. But what opportunities does that give you as far as any, like, lead-ins to other programming post 4 p.m. on those big days when you have those big games?
Yeah, and, you know, what we're trying to do is make it a very seamless handoff. You know, we will continue. We will have a one-hour post-game at the end of every day, the Bate Mundial. And, you know, then we'll be, I guess, at like 5 o'clock, 5:15, depending on what kind of time the game ended. And that, you know, I will put on one of our shows that will not ignore the World Cup, but we have an audience to serve that, you know, is a broadcast audience, broad being the operative word. So we have to also keep those folks connected to Telemundo. And so while we will certainly not ignore the World Cup in those programs, we'll probably do some other things that, you know, our viewers who may not be as rabid World Cup fans, although we know kind of everybody is during those 28 days, But again, we still have an audience to serve. But so there'll be a little bit of both. Even in the games in between matches where there's time, we'll try to do, heavy duty pregame as we get closer to the match. Maybe a little bit lighter fare in between. So, we've done so much research. We know what our audience wants. We know what we have now that the draw is over. And we have some opportunities. I look at that Brazil-Serbia game on, I'll tell you about what I'm calling Dia de Football. On Thanksgiving Day, there will be four matches, three of which have Spanish language teams. There'll be a short break for people to watch Al Rojo Viva, the news, eat their turkey dinner. And then we're going to be on NFL Thursday night. It's called Sunday Night Football on Thanksgiving Day. But we're going to have that game on Telemundo as well. So we're going to literally kind of own the network all day. Four matches, three of those matches, and you know this as well as I do, Uruguay, Portugal, and Brazil. I think that Brazil game might conflict with Fox's NFL game, the Cowboys, so they'll probably have to put Brazil-Serbia on FS1. We look at that as a giant opportunity. There's a couple of places where Fox may be stuck and have to put Saturday the 26th, the Argentina-Mexico game will conflict with their football product. And I'm going to – I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. They might move the football game. But looking at it straight up, that might be a game, Argentina-Mexico, that has to go on to FS1. So between our day of football on Thanksgiving, between some of the matches we're going to have before the round of 16,
Yeah,
Well,
that's important to note, though, too, because I mean, Telemundo is going to be showing every single game except for those eight games on those final days of the group stage, which will be on Universo, just because the games kick off at the same time.
Right.
But every single one of those games is on Telemundo with no conflicts, right?
Yep.
Which is huge. Yeah.
On the weekend. The morning games, what we've been doing in the last couple of years, we bought the rights to Chivas de Guadalajara, the most historic team in League MX. And so we've kind of tried to, continue to serve our audiences from both sides of the world. So our numbers on the West Coast since we added Chivas are huge. And Premier League, we're way above last year's numbers with this year's Premier League. So those Saturday morning time slots are very regular time periods for our audiences to be watching Premier League. Mm-hmm. Chivas is typically in the primetime area. But again, it's a giant Mexican audience. 75% of our Chivas viewers are Mexican. I think the average in the country is, 50 to 60. So, we're really trying to kind of surround them.
Sure.
And then when the World Cup comes, just had such a lucky draw.
So you've traveled to Qatar a bunch of times. What's the experience like? Yes. I mean, how is that different from you being in that country compared to other World Cups?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been to only one other World Cup in Russia, but I've been to other cities that have hosted World Cups a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's as unique. And that's what's very cool about it. It's as unique a place as you could want to go to do anything, if it's the vacation or watch the World Cup. There's nothing to compare it to that I don't know how far back you go. I know you go back further than me in World Cups. I don't think there's anything that compares to a city, I think it's the size of New Jersey or something. But then Doha is, and I think you guys, I keep stealing your lines, but it was a great podcast. It's really the World Cup in Doha.
Right, yeah.
It's always Qatar 2022, really Doha 2022, which is great. I mean, I heard Andres talking, and we've been saying this for months now, how fresh the players will be. Andres is just so happy that his head will hit the pillow in the same room every night for however many nights he's there. That is very different,
Sure,
very different.
Absolutely.
It's just going to be, yeah.
And then one of the other questions that comes up quite often, time and time again, is that, basically human rights. And it's a big topic. It's something that, you mean basically the last few years there's been a lot of reporting on it on the journalism side or other TV networks, etc. But how will Telemundo address that topic in the coverage of the World Cup?
So it's something that we all know about. I think it's something that's been really well discovered. I think to the degree that, I said this once and I got slammed when I said, look, if they put the World Cup on the moon, I'd have to figure out how to get to the moon and produce the World Cup. We're the sports guys. You know, we deliver World Cups. We don't pick the cities. We have to go wherever the games are. That's kind of a hide and seek answer. I think we look a little bit but the thing I'll say about having been to Qatar as often as I have, and I still get confused when you're there, they call it Qatar. When I'm home, they call it Qatar. But I guess I'll just call it Doha. Having been to Doha a few times, they're really aware of the situation. They are really trying to improve it and open up their culture to a different way. So in some ways, there are other places that are in the same place but not doing anything about it. And I give Qatar credit for trying to do something about it. Educational programs, bringing the World Cup to their country will certainly help with that. I think as it relates to our coverage, we'll probably take a cue from NBC Sports and their handling of the Beijing Winter Games. There was a very pretty strong opening comment at the opening ceremonies. And at the end of it, it was that, let's honor the athletes. Let's honor the fans. Let's watch some Olympics. Mm-hmm. So I think that, that is probably going to be our way of addressing it. It is about the World Cup. We can talk all day about it. Why is it in Qatar? Who put it in? It doesn't matter. It's in Qatar. Sure. And that's where we're going. We'll have the World Cup.
So,
and their issues have been put out there and they're not hiding.
Well, Ray, anything else you'd like to add? Just because I know there's a lot going on this year, but anything else that we didn't cover?
The other thing is our goal. We had a giant number of English-speaking fans who watched us instead of our competition because, as we say, it's mejor en español, mm-hmm. better in Spanish. Yep. And so our other goal is to continue to take English-language viewers and show them, a more fun way. We have a couple of 200-percenters in the building here who had said to me after the Super Bowl, to be honest, I've always watched Sunday Night Football on NBC. We've had it on Universal, but again, not as distributed as widely as Telemundo. And so I always just, went to NBC, but when it was on Telemundo, I kept flipping back and forth. And I wanted to go back to Al and Chris, but I actually really enjoyed our call.
Yep.
I think, our goal is just to keep, I think it's easier for us to take English language viewers and have them bring in into Spanish than for Spanish language viewers to want to go to English. So we're going to keep pounding away at that.
During Pride celebrations in 2022, Acast handed over the mic to our LGBTQIA+ creators and created our very first audio Pride Parade.
Welcome to the next stop in the Acast Pride Parade. We are reality gays here in Los Angeles, and this is our Pride episode.
Follow the parade on Acast's social media channels and find the bonus episodes in the podcaster's feed.
And how exciting, an audio Pride Parade. I mean, I never thought that kind of thing could happen before, but it has. We're here, we're queer.
Well, one of us.
And we're in a parade and we don't even need to walk. How fabulous.